Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Let us follow what is important. Let us what? Because the book of Ecclesiastes is written with the eyes of a man who swayed from God and had now come back to God, and he's saying, no. I went after those things, and those things don't mean anything.
This week, Pastor Neil delves into Ecclesiastes chapters 5 and 6, where Solomon cautions us about being mindful of our words and vows to God, urging us to show him respect instead of making impulsive promises. He also warns against the vanity of wealth. In a world where we see power without satisfaction, wealth without joy, and hard work without fulfillment, which can bring dissatisfaction, your life can be full of stuff, and your heart remains empty. He emphasizes that enjoying one's work and possessions is a gift from God, and that God will not let the righteous be in need. Let's listen to today's lesson, Learning to be Content.
So God gives some people money, and he allows them to enjoy it, because those people have decided not to look at money as their God, but God as their God. Look at chapter 6. We are continuing. But he said, I have seen something else wrong here on earth that causes serious problems for people. God gives great wealth, riches, honor to some people. They have everything they want, but God does not let them enjoy such things. A stranger enjoys them instead. This is useless and very wrong. Ain't that true? Now, so you notice that there's one group God gives to them, but because of their recognition of the fact that you are the giver of that gift, the Bible says God occupies them with the joy that they have in him. So the affliction and the troubles and the things around doesn't bother them. Lives become short for them because their joy was so much in God and were now in things. But then there's the flip side, another group of people who God has given them everything they want, but he withholds the ability for them to enjoy. How bad is it to buy a very expensive mattress? You know, the woodwork, the artwork in your bedroom is such that when you walk in, do you realize some bedrooms are very depressing when you walk in? And something when you walk in is like, wow. But it will amaze you that the depressing bedrooms, people walk in there, and before they could say two words, they are gone. Then somebody has this well-decored, the paint, the tint from the top to the bottom, following the artistic rule. Darker colors on the bottom all the way up, you get to the top. Clean, nice. Have this artwork here, that artwork there, this artwork there, and they walk in there. My bedroom is not like that. I just know. My wife will tell you. It is the place I walk in. I just sleep. I don't have time for all the other stuff. He says, I give you wealth, but I will withhold what it takes to enjoy. So Solomon is saying, quit going after the things, because until God is recognized or God is in the center of it, you might not even enjoy it. And notice what he says. You will leave it for somebody else. And he uses the word stranger. He says a stranger will enjoy, not even your children, no, a stranger. I've seen people who, before when they passed, because they did not have any children, right? And the state had to take care of their stuff. So all the years they work hard, the money they got. I wish they adopted me before they died. Because me, I would spend the money. There are souls to be saved. There's work to be done. When I say I spend the money, you think it's because I'm going to buy stuff. No. Somebody decided to give me something, another clothing. And I told my wife, I've become very worldly because my wardrobe now is full. The more you have, the difficult things get. Yes. Yes. And Solomon is saying, listen, life is not about all the things we are trying to get. And I'll come to something. Christians don't like enjoying life. No, we don't. We think when we pray alone is how we enjoy. I'll come to it. I'll show you. So Solomon says, listen to me, people. In this life, there are people who have power, but they are not satisfied. There are people who have wealth. He's not just talking about money, please, because wealth goes beyond money. Yes, there are people who have it, but they are never happy. You meet them, you are wondering, how in the world do I make basic minimum wage? And then they have these fixed figures, and they are always sad. What is the secret? It is the God who you always remember. But remember what Moses says. Remember the Lord your God, for it is what? He. Because once God knows that your heart remembers him, he in turn will give you the joy. Because things will not give you joy. Number three, Solomon says, some people have long life. They have large families, but they are never satisfied. Look at verse 3. We are in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. He says, a man may have 100 children and live a long time. But what good is it if he can't enjoy the good God gives him or have a proper burial? I say a baby born dead is better. So he's talking about a stillborn child, right? The one that never made it. The one that never had a name. I say a baby born dead is better off than he. A baby born dead is useless. It returns to the darkness without even a name. That baby never saw the sun and never knew anything, but it finds more rest than that man. The man who has 100 children. Hello. See, back in those days, when a person lived long, the conclusion is that this person is being blessed by God. In fact, if you continue reading, Solomon says, even if you live 2,000 years, Methuselah lived how many years? 907 days. So he's saying that even if we put this in a hypothetical case and you made it to 2,000 years, if God is not in the center of your life, forget it. Your long life don't mean a thing. Have you seen people who turn 101, 104, 106 and they were sick all through? Now let me die quick because I'm not going to do that. Why do I have to live and then all my loved ones are suffering from one hospital to another? Every day they are carrying me something. Nah. If I'm going to live, I got to live happy. But he says it doesn't come from things. It comes from your focus on Jehovah. Verse 6 says, even if he lives 2,000 years, he doesn't enjoy the good God gives him. Everyone is going to the same place. When he says the same place, he's talking about the fact that we all end up in the grave. The last thing Solomon talks about are people think that when they work hard, they will be happy. He says the same way long life comes most of the time without satisfaction if God is not in it. Hard work is without fulfillment if God is not in it. Look at verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. People work just to feed themselves. Is that true? People work just to feed themselves. But they never seem to get enough to eat. In this way, a wise person is no better off than a fool. Then too, it does a poor person little good to know how to get along in life. It is better to see what you have than to want more. He's talking about contentment. Wanting more, that it means being discontent, is useless. It's like the chasing of the wind. Let me tell you a story. Everybody listen up. There was a businessman who saw a fisherman. He observed the fisherman for a very long time and realized that this fisherman would simply just go to the sea, catch a few fish, and then his day has ended. So the businessman asked him, how come that you only catch a few fish and you go home and then that's it? What do you use the rest of your day for? He says, oh, when I cut the fish, it is enough for my family. So I go home, we eat, and I spend the rest of my time with my children, and then the rest of my time with my wife. Then in the night, I sleep, and then repeat the thing the next day. The businessman looked at him and says, you could be more successful than this. You are actually wasting your time, and I can help you. You know, you need to spend more time catching more fish. And after you caught more fish, we will sell it and you'll make more money. And we'll try and expand your business by buying a bigger boat. So we can catch more fish and sell more fish and you make more what? Money. Very soon you will stop catching fish yourself. And you can employ other people who will come and catch fish for you. So you become a manager. And you don't need to worry. Because your money will be working for you. And you will be very successful. So the fisherman said, I see. So what is next? After I become very successful. And the businessman says, then you move into the city. You get out of the waterfront area and you go into the city and you buy yourself a very big mansion and you live a very good life. And then the fisherman says, what's next? Then he says, you know, and after you age and you become very old, you go and buy a new house all the way up at the waterfront and then you live there and then you have fun. And the fisherman said, is that not what I'm already doing? Because I'm already living there. But you want me to go through all of this only to come back and live there again. Sometimes the things we are chasing after, it's like in cycles. We are just going around the same things and things. I've seen women who marry certain types of men and they divorce them. And then they you come back to the... Because sometimes the problem ain't the man, is you. How you are choosing the same kind of people. Let's flip the coin. The men as well. Solomon is saying, people, it is good to work hard. It is good to live long. It is okay to have a lot of children. It is good to have wealth. It is good to have position. But if God is not in the center of these things, forget it. You will never be satisfied. You will never be what? Satisfied. Say that with me. You will never be satisfied. So, how do I learn contentment, Solomon? How do I learn to be content? How do I learn it? Look at chapter 6 from verses 10 to 12 because Solomon offers an explanation there. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, look at verse 10. He says, whatever happens was planned long ago. Everyone knows what people are like. No one can argue with God, who is stronger than anyone. He's talking about God's sovereignty, that God is in charge of his universe. When somebody is messing around for a while and God hasn't said anything, it doesn't mean the person is in power. So he's telling you, begin to have an understanding or live life with the sovereignty of God in view. Look at verse 11. The more you say, the more useless it is. In other words, if you try to argue with God, you're wasting your People have only few, man, this is hard words to use. People have only few useless days of life, but it is true. On the earth, their short life passes like a shadow. Who knows what is best for them while they live? Who can tell them what their future brings? And it is true that the word of God teaches us. Now let's correlate. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Because there we read about an apostle, the apostle Paul, who tells us that there is a need to be content. But there is a way to do it. Are you in the book of Philippians? Let's read Philippians chapter 4. Let's read from verses 11 to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. So Solomon's is saying to us that if you and I are going to have contentment, the first step is to see life from God's perspective. All right? Recognize, see it from God's point of view. Everybody say, see it. From God's point of view. All right. Are you in Philippians? So we're going to look at how am I going to try to see things from God's point of view, because it's not that easy to always see things from God's point of view. Are you in Philippians 4? He says, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned. Please underline the word learned. For I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. The New Century Version says, I am not telling you this because I need anything. For I have learned to be satisfied. I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances or what is it that I have, I am content with it. Did you copy that? It doesn't matter what I have. Now, let me teach really quick. Please write these down. Because he says, I have learned. Everybody say, I have learned. It means contentment is not automatic. It will not happen on its own. You don't just wake up and you are content. The natural us, human beings, is to go after things. Because bigger is, you just said it. Even though we may not believe it, but we say it. Right? We have learned. There are four ways actually to learn. And the last one is the most important. We learn by instruction. Write it down. Anytime you are going to learn anything, it is because somebody will teach you. We call that education. You learn by instruction. Everybody say, I learn by instruction. Secondly, we learn by example. We see someone do it, and then we try to mimic what they are doing. So I learn by instruction. I learn by, thirdly, I learn by repetition. The things we repeat over and over, learning will take place after a while. This is why those who do commercials repeat the same commercial over and over. We don't say it's boring because it's gradually educating us. So I learn by instruction, I learn by example, I learn by repetition, then I also learn by study. There are things you have to take time. Sit down and study. When you study certain things, you will know how to do them. We also learn by patterns. When you study patterns, you begin to see that something emerges out of it. Then you learn a lesson. And that is what Solomon is doing here. He's looked at life. He's seen patterns. And he's saying that based on the patterns, this is what is going to take place. In fact, one of the patterns Solomon learns is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He says, I have observed that there is something else under the sun. He says, the race is not for the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Now, if you are going to have a 100-meter race, the obvious thing is that it is the swiftest, the fastest person who is going to win, right? But then he says, no, there comes a time where the slowest person in the race wins it. Because something else is in the equation. Remember all throughout the book, he's trying to remind you if God is not in it. So I learn by instruction, I learn by example, and I learn by repetition. Then I learn by patterns, all right? Then I also learn by experience. There are things you have to experience them in order to be able to learn. Some people, when you talk to them, they ain't going to listen until they go through. So you heard the adage that says experience is the... Not true. Until you read Proverbs 27, the same Solomon said, some people, they are like, he says, they are like something you have put inside a mortar and you pound it and they will never learn from it. In other words, the pounding, the life experiences ought to have taught them some sense, but it doesn't. They are still the same way. So number one, I learn by instruction. Number two, I learn by example. Number three, repetition. Number four, patterns. Number five, study. Number six, experience. Now, all these levels of learning must always arrive at what I call skill. S-K-I-L-L. Skill is arriving at a place where you know what to do, how to do it, and doing it excellently. maybe the word excellent is too much. So doing it and doing it well. Is that okay? So Paul is saying contentment doesn't come by itself. It will happen by learning. So that means there has to be some level of instruction. As I teach you, we are talking to you and we are instructing you. You have to learn it by example. There are things you will see other people do it and you learn from them. It will have to come by repetition. From chapter 1 up to now, I keep repeating it. It's like the chasing of the wind. The more you repeat, the more you get to know. Because if you read a book one time, it won't stick. You have to repeat for it to what? Stay. This is why when the word of God is going to get into you, there has to be repetition of that word. This is why you come to church every Sunday. Don't make up excuses for it. Because the more, how many preaching haven't you had? A lot. But who knows that the one you listen to next week is the one that will change you. So we learn by instruction. We learn by example. We learn by study. We learn by repetition will learn by patterns. But you must come to the place of skill. If you are going to be content, a man who is having difficulties in his marriage, don't talk to other men who are already struggling in their marriage. Because by repetition, they will teach you how to be unsatisfied. You got it? You talk with the ones who are satisfied in it. Then by way of repetition or instruction or example or by pattern, they will help you to be able to know what to do. But of all these aspects of learning, Paul is saying, I have learned. I have tried it by instruction. I've tried it by experience. I've tried it by study. I've tried it by repetition. But I've come to that place of skill. Go back to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 12 because he tells you what is it that he's actually learned. He says, I know how to live when I am poor. And I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. When I have enough to eat and when I go hungry, when I have more than I need and when I do not have enough, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't ever quote that verse anyhow. This is the context for it. A person who is not content and wants somebody else's husband, you can't say you can do that. I can grab you. I can do all things. No, not that. The scripture is not applicable to that. He says, I have learned it. What I'm trying to say is that contentment also doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You will make mistakes, but work towards becoming content. Are you understanding what we learned today? Work towards it. I know how to live when I don't have much. Some of us, because we want to keep up with the Joneses, even when your account is in the negative, you want to dress and appear nice around so people. I'm not saying dress anyhow. But if you can't afford it, just leave it alone. I can sense the pushback. I'll say it again. If you can't afford it, leave it alone.
That's right.
If some people live in a certain house, and when you enter the house looks very nice. Even the air. It would be nice to have a house like this. And your spouse is standing by you. You don't say it into the thin air, but you turn and you direct it at them. Only to realize that this couple who has the house you envy, they work 2-3 jobs just to keep the house. At least you have a roof over your head. In fact, I have seen that the real wealthy people, they don't live in big houses. I asked one of my boys to write a letter to Warren Buffett to ask him about what is the number one thing that keeps him wealthy. He said, Daddy, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, no, you like money. So I want you to go and learn it from the one who has it. I did everything he wouldn't write it. So finally I told him, come and read this article because Warren Buffett still stays in the same house that he's lived in before he became rich. And then after he got rich, he stays in the same house. When he was interviewed and he was asked, why are you living the same house and having changed? He says, that house meets all my needs. There is one bedroom I need. There's one bedroom in there. I need one kitchen. There's one kitchen in there. He says, there's a living room where I can sit and watch TV. There is one in there. There's no need to buy a new one. Sometimes in the name of chasing after money, even walking into the house of God and serving him every Sunday becomes an issue for us. Solomon is saying, people, listen to me. This is the chasing of the wind. But going after God is not the chasing of the wind. It's a serious matter we need to pay attention to. And I'm not saying because I want you to come to church every Sunday. It's for your own good. You know me, I'm one of those preachers. When I stand here, I'm oblivious to how many people are sitting. I'll preach as if there are millions here. Let us follow what is important. Let us what? Because the book of Ecclesiastes is written with the eyes of a man who swayed from God and had now come back to God, and he's saying, no. I went after those things, and those things don't mean anything. I tried status in the political arena. I was the king. I tried wealth and every kind of wealth, but it ain't going to do it. I have tried hard work. It's not doing it. He said, everything I tried ain't working. Because God must be in the center of it. Solomon says, if you and I will see life from God's perspective, remember God is in control. Tell the person sitting next to you, God is in control. He says, whatever happened was planned long ago. Everyone knows what people are like. No one can argue with God. You see, God has you. The military people say he has your six. He's got your back. Stop acting like it is your movements that make stuff happen. Because you can have money and God can withhold your ability to enjoy the money. Then you'll be staring at the face of the money and realize, boom. I remember I used to pray, God, give us a property. God, give us a property. October 2019, we had a property. Then fast forward a few months, COVID, this place was empty. So I would come here and say, hey, look what I was wishing for. So if all my pride and everything was in it, it's empty. At that point, now we talk, eh? But at that point, how many of you knew how long COVID was going to last? And most of the systems in this building must be kept on. You can't turn them off. You turn them off, systems go off. And then the authorities will call. So that means the bills were the same. And some of the mornings I'll come here and say, I am sitting in downtown. In this building we have paid for. I said, I don't like peace. Now I am here. Truth is, God was in it. So I was not afraid. And God took care of it. Up to date, he's still taking care of it. Ambition is okay, but don't let it turn to greed. Because once it becomes greed, God is not in it. And when God is not in it, life is over.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.